listening to The Mike Malloy Show, but don't call in. Have a safe Memorial Day, and Mike will be back live tomorrow night.
Seekers, welcome to Malloy program on this Tuesday. I don't quite understand why the gap between this empty suit, Mitt Romney, is closing where it concerns his poll numbers up against Obama. I don't understand. Romney spent 3 or 4 months lying his ass off. Everybody knows it. Why? I mean, the last time we had somebody give us that I'm a businessman pitch, it was George W. Bush. What is it that makes dumbass voters in this country think that or respond to the pitch that says, well, I know how to run a business. I've been running a business. You know, you just want to say, you dumbass, running the United States is not a business. It's entirely different. But why doesn't somebody point that out? Why don't these talking heads on the networks on Sunday and whenever they're out there, why don't they point that out? Has any of them pointed it out? Has anybody at MSNBC pointed out to any of these geeks, running a business is pretty much a certain guarantee you're going to F up if you become president, because you don't know squat about bureaucracy, especially a predatory business like Romney. And what's this business about Bain Capital created jobs? Bain Capital created profit for the little inside group. I mean, Bain Capital wasn't a company that said, okay, let's go over here and open up a factory. Let's go over here and open up a store. Let's go. What about Staples? Stop. Let's go over here and build a farm. They weren't about jobs. They were about profit for their investors in this little predatory circle jerk of capitalists who decided, okay, let's move in. We'll take over this country. We'll dismember the goddamn thing. If people lose their jobs, it's tough. You know, it's America. Go eat some bootstraps. And we'll make our profit and we'll move on. And they did. They made millions. So I'm watching, made the mistake of watching some network news tonight. I don't know if it was ABC or NBC. But the big news now is about Facebook. You know, the complete ripoff. Insider trading? You know, all the inside people, insider trading, so to speak, all the people in the know, the bankers sat back and just laughed their asses off because they knew what was going on. They knew what was going on. All the insiders would, let me see. What does it say here? Alexander Higgins writes this. Using the branding power of Facebook, Wall Street has suckered the masses back into the stock market only to burn them for a 20% loss in 2 days of trading. Yeah, that IPO of Facebook allowed mom and pop investors their first chance to trade stocks in the company. And the 1%, you know, the Occupy identified 1%, known legally as the sophisticated investor, they were able to get on the stock before it started trading public for the price of $38, remember? And when the stock finally started trading on the market, the first price was $42! That represented an immediate 10% profit for the ripoff artists. And they sold. Meanwhile, hundreds of millions of orders from middle-class mom-and-pop little investors flooded the market to buy up the shares for the $42 opening price. And as they did, Those sophisticated investors who bought their shares before trading open to the public for $38 dumped theirs, and the stock price plummeted. I mean, this is a Lucy Charlie Brown thing, right? Hey, here, come and kick it, kick a field goal, thud. You know, right on his ass. I don't understand. How can people be this suckery? I mean, we talked about this, you know, the night before. Facebook had their big IPO. Like, what are they selling? what is it that's going on the market tomorrow? This was last Thursday. You know, what is it? What's being sold? Nothing. Not even air. Not even smoke and mirrors. Nothing. Keystrokes were being sold. Trillions of keystrokes. Even the New York Times is getting on it now. The Times says just days before Facebook went public, some big investors got nervous after publicly warning about challenges in mobile advertising. Facebook executives held conference calls to update their banks analysts on the business. Oh, yeah. They're going to update the banks? The bankers are sitting there going, keep talking. Keep talking. We don't care what you say. We got the rubes. The rubes are lined up. The rubes are lined up to throw money at us. God damn, after we cut their throats 4 years ago, after we ruined their lives, after we ran the whole global economy into the toilet, these stupid rubes are ready to do it again. Ain't America great? After all those phone calls, one prospective investor was told that second quarter revenues could be 5% lower, this according to the New York Times, than the bank's earlier estimates, the bank being Morgan Stanley. Another analyst warned that revenue could be light for the next 2 years. That means invisible. And I love this. As investors tried to digest the developments, Morgan Stanley was busy setting the price and the size of the IPO. While some big institutions chose not to buy the stock, others placed large orders. And retail investors, that's you and me, if you are dumber than dog crap, retail investors who weren't necessarily privy to the same information, I love that phrase, who weren't necessarily privy to the same information, continued to wet their pants. For shares! Gimme! 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 But the rubes didn't know. The Times says, who weren't necessarily privy to the same information. And in the end, Morgan Stanley bankers decided they had enough demand and interest for Facebook to justify an offering price of $38 a share. The IPO of Facebook, according to the Times, was supposed to be Morgan Stanley's crowning achievement. When Facebook went public on May 18th, blah, blah, blah. And then the company, the price barely budged. And the prices have been falling ever since. Today, the stock closed at $31, more than 18% below its offering price. How do you feel, rubes? They just keep hosing you. This little punk-ass 28-year-old kid just hose you, just beat you to death. And the banks that work with these twits just beat you to death. What are you selling today, boy? Keystrokes. Really? Keystrokes. What are they worth? Well, let me see here. $38 a share? They're selling keystrokes. When the dust settles, Morgan Stanley made about $100 million on the IPO. Mom and Pop, and all you folks out there in Bohunkville, in the flyover states, that, you know, where they always make fun of you, rubes, they did it to you again. And they'll do it to you again and again and again. That's the name of the game, Rubes. See these two weirdly related little pieces here. One was at BuzzFeed.com, and the other one was at Salon.com. And the BuzzFeed story says that an amendment that'll be attached, or is attached, let me check here. Yeah, the amendment is attached to the defense authorization bill. I thought they just got their billions. But the amendment would legalize the use of propaganda on American audiences. Now, I know you're saying, what? They're already doing that. Well, yeah, but this, the amendment, according to... according to the summary of this law at the House Rules Committee's official website, this amendment would, quote, strike the current ban on domestic dissemination, end quote, of propaganda material produced by the State Department and the Independent Broadcasting Board of Governors. The State Department and the Independent Broadcasting Board of Governors has a rule, no propaganda. Now, this amendment would essentially, according to BuzzFeed, tweak the bill and would essentially neutralize two previous acts, the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, I know, and the Foreign Relations Authorization Act of 1987. Now, both of those have been passed to protect us from our own government's misinformation campaigns. Makes you want to stop and say, how's that working out? We have to go to war with Iraq because, well, they're about to unleash their death ray on Wichita. Now, that's just flat out lying. There's a difference between lying and propaganda. Now, it's a bipartisan amendment, lest you were sitting there thinking, oh, those goddamn Republicans. No. The amendment is sponsored by Representative Mac Thornberry from Texas, which I believe is a Republican, and Adam Smith from Washington State, who I believe is a Democrat. Now, in a little notice press release earlier last week, buried beneath the other high-profile issues in the $642 billion death bill, including indefinite detention and a prohibition on gay marriage at military installations, beneath all of that, Mr. Thornberry warned that in the internet age, the current law that prohibits propaganda, quote, ties the hands of America's diplomatic officials, the military, and others in inhibiting our ability to effectively communicate in a credible way, end quote. What? To effectively communicate in a credible way. You know, all those maggots that have been eating at George Orwell, they all just fled. You know why they just fled? Because Orwell sat up in what's left of his coffin, and he's crawling out of the grave, and he's going to come and stand, I don't know, in the well of the Senate and say, you people are goddamn insane. I mean, listen to what they've done to language. We need to neutralize laws passed going all the way back 60 years ago to protect U.S. citizens from our own government's misinformation campaigns. And the reason we need to do that is because, well, here in the internet age, the current law ties the hands of America's diplomatic officials, military, and others by inhibiting our ability to tell the truth. No, I just added that last part. By inhibiting our ability to effectively communicate in a credible way. Can you believe this? This is happening in your country, in your lifetime. In your country, in your lifetime. Now, the supporters of this doublespeak, newspeak crap say the informational material used overseas to influence foreign audiences is too good to not use at home. And that new techniques are needed to fight Al-Qaeda, the enemy whose own propaganda reaches Americans online. It does? Does it really? Well, I didn't know. Now, critics of this attempt to neutralize the prohibition of our government propagandizing, as critics say there are ways to keep America safe without turning to massive disinformation operations within the federal government against U.S. citizens. There really are. There are ways to do it. I mean, you know, you could tell the truth. Oh, Christ, the truth. Get real! Get in the 21st century, Malloy! Listen to Mitt Romney. Oh, my God, truth? Truth sucks!
It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Two quick emails here on a couple of topics we were just talking about from Andrew in Redwood City, California. Mike, regarding the Facebook venture capital and insiders. He says, Mike, the insiders on this deal, the early investors and the venture capitalists, for example, Goldman Sachs, Accel Partners, Peter Thiel, whoever that is, and among many others, originally invested at $1 or $2 a share, so their profits are enormous. These are the real winners. The managers at the company and the early investors, rich investors, venture capitalists, and hedge funds. The folks who buy retail at IPO prices, $38 or more, or anything above the early investors, are just saps. Just saps. Yep. And that's from Andy, from Michael and Roswell. There's no enforcement of Smith-Mundt, that's from 1948, I guess, or the 1987 Foreign Relations Act, where it concerns propaganda. Take, for example, the Pentagon program of providing detailed disinformation in support of war to retired generals and other field grade officers who were contracted by the television news media to provide expert commentary. Even the Pentagon Inspector General poo-pooed the collusion. No real investigations were done, talking about Iraq. As it is, the primary media rarely challenge what the government leaks to them. How many reporters, for example, credulously repeated John Brennan's bald-faced lie about, quote, absolutely no collateral damage, end quote, from unmanned drone attacks in Pakistan. Far too many. At least Soviet citizens knew they were being propagandized. Ouch. Now, speaking of the drones, and this goes back to what I said, two pieces, one from BuzzFeed and then this one from Salon.com. It seems that America's drone industry is all upset. It's upset because it's being criticized by both the left and the right. So they decided they're going to fight back. Michael Toscano, who's the president of the Association of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International, the drone industry's trade group in Washington. Can you effing believe this? The drone industry has a trade group. I'm yelling again. Anyway, Michael Toscano said, quote, "We're going to do a much better job of educating people about unmanned aviation, the good and the bad. We're working on drafting the right message and how to get it out there." End quote. You don't suppose that they're talking about lies and propaganda and bull hockey, do you? Yeah. Now, Toscano, this guy who is the president of the Association of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International. God damn, that's a name, isn't it? Well, Toscano is the former manager of the Pentagon's robotics program. And he says that this ad campaign is going to focus on safety and public benefits of the drone murder program. Safety and the public benefits. Now, a Salon puts it, the PR blitz comes after drones suffered a round of negative attention last week. Conservative columnist Charles Krauthammer, the little Nazi bastard who rides around in a motorized vehicle, Charles Krauthammer called for a ban on drones. Here. Just here. And two other conservative commentators endorsed the idea of shooting down unmanned aircraft flown by, of course, U.S. law enforcement agencies. Do you get this? Here in the U.S., we have witnessed a couple of drone scares. An unidentified flying object nearly collided with a plane over Denver, and rumors circulated of a surveillance drone flying near the NATO summit in Illinois. Rumors, my ass, that was true. Now, you probably know, because you're a good progressive, that the only opposition to our deployment of these unmanned murder vehicles had previously come from left liberal groups concerned about civilian casualties. You know, collateral damage, all those little children being blown into bone fragments, red mist, eyeballs, crap rolling around that used to be a little kid. You know, just, oh, we're sorry, son of a bitch, we did it again? Oh, man, how much? Huh? How much for your kid? Oh, $6,000, U.S. Now, that's not what the parents say. That's what Hamid Karzai says. And also, the progressive groups in this country were concerned about the threat that these instruments pose to civil liberties here at home. Right? Now, back to Mr. Toscano, Michael Toscano, the former head of the Pentagon's robotics program and now the president of the Association of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International. Oh, my God. It sounds like, I don't know, something that would go on an interstate. What do you do? I make Unmanned Vehicle Systems International. He issued a statement denouncing the neo-Nazi Charles Krauthammer, the guy that scoots around in a little motorized vehicle. He denounced Krauthammer's remarks as irresponsible and dangerous, because Krauthammer called for a ban on drones in U.S. airspace. Irresponsible! Dangerous! Mr. Toscano said that the Associate of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International would go on the offensive against critics like Krauthammer. And I like the way Salon puts it. While the strategy is still being shaped, Toscano made it sound like something straight out of a crisis management textbook. Or Orwell. The Association of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International wants to bombard, you'll pardon the expression, the American public with positive images and messages about drones in an effort to reverse the growing perception of the aircraft as a threat to privacy and safety. This drone is your friend. This is Donnie the drone. Look, see the smile on his face? Why, he's being handled by Airman First Class Sally Smith. Look, here's a picture of Sally sitting at her computer terminal. Isn't she sweet? You know, she graduated 97th in her class. She was a Girl Scout. She has contributed to Planned Parenthood. Isn't she a sweetie? Hi, Sally, wave. Bleep, bleep, bleep. Good, Sally. Toscano told Salon, quote, we need to get people to understand that with unmanned aviation vehicles, there is always a person in the loop and on the loop monitoring the aircraft's activities. These systems don't go in the air without being safe and reliable. We can kill as many goddamn kids as you want us to kill. How many do you want killed? We're very reliable. Six? Do you want them all in the same family? Do you want us to kill only cousins? How about a kindergarten class? We're very safe. We're very reliable. We need to get people to understand, blah, 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 blah. And he went on to say, quote, if you want to say we shouldn't be involved in these wars we're involved in, that's fine. Go ahead and say that. But if our military has already been committed to do this, and we are putting men and women in harm's way, aren't you, doesn't that phrase now just make your goddamn throat seize up? Doesn't it? In harm's way. Toscano wants to do it with the least amount of risk to them. He says, quote, that means using unmanned vehicles. If you did it the old-fashioned way. If you did it the old-fashioned way. You know, send aircraft in with their cannons blasting and wiping out the Vietnamese rice farmers, right? Ba 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 ba. Boom, boom. Ba 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 ba. If you do it the old-fashioned way, you'd have more risk to our people and even more collateral damage. Ba 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 ba. Got that gook bastard. Damn, I love this.
Right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
And course, Tom Tomorrow is out there with Droney, the friendly surveillance drone. It's a new Tom Tomorrow character. Droney. Hi, kids. I'm Droney. Now, back to Toscano, the former manager of the Pentagon's robotics program, who is now the president of the Association of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International. You know, they add the word systems. That just sounds so, I don't know, stationary, doesn't it? I mean, you think of systems. Well, that's over there in the back room. Unmanned Vehicle Systems.
Well, it's unmanned. It's an association.
Propaganda? Anyway, and remember now, this is the guy that said, you know, if you want to say we shouldn't be involved in war, fine, but if our military has already been committed to war and we're putting men and women in harm's way, I want to do it with the least amount of risk to them. Now, Toscano goes on to attribute, in the Salon article, criticism of drones to fear. Really? Fear? That was right after he said, listen, I have a newsflash for you. Water is wet. Fear? Why, that's a misplaced emotion where it concerns drones, if I ever heard of one. He said, Toscano, quote, change scares people. Yeah, so does death by some goddamn thing flying unmanned in the sky that puts a hellfire missile right up your ass. That's kind of scary too, Mr. Toscano. Change scares people, he says. And he goes on to say, quote, there's this natural reaction when you have revolutionary type change, and that's what these unmanned systems represent. But they're not as scary as people say. My God, they're not scary. Look at them. They have that nice little hump in front. They look like big old, you could just pet one. Scary? Oh, you bunch of babies. Come on. He goes on to say, quote, they are an extension of the eyes, ears, and hands of a person who knows how to do their job. And if you give them an unmanned system, they will do their job better. You're goddamn right. You always do a better job when you know there's going to be no fingerprints, no DNA, nothing. Just corpses. Pieces of corpses, I'm sorry. Just pieces of corpses. Now, here's the funniest part of the entire Salon piece on Mr. Toscano and drones. Here it comes. Toscano said, domestic drones do not pose a new threat to privacy. Why? We have laws that provide sufficient protection.
Oh, my God. Damn. We have laws that provide... We have the
And then he said, quote, we have so many more technologies that are eroding our ideas of privacy. I mean, come on. If you have a cell phone and it's on, somebody can follow you. If you send an email, somebody can read that email. The threat of unmanned vehicles is no different.
Yeah, but an email will not put a hellfire missile up your ass, Michael. A cell phone will not explode when your kid picks it up and make teeth, hair, and eyeballs over the wallpaper, Michael.
There is a difference, buddy. There really is between a cell phone and a hellfire missile attached to a drone aircraft. Honest to God, Michael, there's a difference.
But not to this guy.
He says, if you use an unmanned vehicle to spy on someone and you don't have a search warrant, it's going to be thrown out of court or you'll be prosecuted for violating the law. You really will. Of course, if that happens, and I or one of my people winds up in court, we'll put a hellfire missile up the judge's ass with a drone aircraft flying over the courthouse, you know. Michael acknowledged the downside of drone technology, but he compared possible negatives about drones to automobiles. Oh, come on, Michael, you should have picked cigarettes. Quote, well, car crashes kill 35,000 people a year, but we don't talk about banning cars. We need to be honest about the costs and the benefits, end quote. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Car crashes. We're not banning cars or cigarettes or pork fat. Why should we ban drones? I don't know. I don't, you know, when I get hit with two articles, one about propagandizing the American public and how a Democrat and a Republican member of Congress both have entered into the law something to cancel the laws, whether they are enforced or not, against propagandizing the American public. And at the same time, this poor miserable son of a bitch who represents the drone industry stands up on his hind legs and cries that the drone industry is vastly misunderstood. I know it's time for me to probably get back in the closet up in the attic and find the tinfoil helmet and put it back on. True Secret.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show, but don't call in. Have a safe Memorial Day, and Mike will be back live tomorrow night. I can see the love light in your eyes. What's the use in looking for an answer? I'm never now, it could be a disaster. Hold on to your own time. Don't let go. Don't let go.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Matt and Patty. Thank you, Matt and Patty. The message, this 1 hour sponsorship is in honor of my wife's birthday. The Mike Malloy Show is where she goes 5 days a week for therapy. We both send our love to you, Kathy and Molly. Juice Seekers, keep it lit. Matt and Patty. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Patty. Therapy. No, I get that. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I come here. Regarding Michael, the the lobbyist, the head of the unmanned vehicle, aircraft, killer, murder, baby exploding international. Prairie 2 writes, drones? There is no such law. When he says that you could be prosecuted for spying on someone with a drone, he is full of it. Such surveillance is no different from a police helicopter watching you. The only restriction imposed by the Supreme Court is that they can't scan your house with infrared to, you know, see inside. The FAA is the only thing that keeps these things at bay. President Romney will fix that. I was considering writing one of my future history pieces when I read the NFL has spent a lot of money lobbying the FAA to reauthorize the domestic use of drones. You see, the fat cats who own the teams seem to like the security they provide. I decided the story is a little too gory because it ended with the 747 crashing into the Super Bowl, although a flaming Rush Limbaugh did make the story work. Prairie 2's been into the cough medicine tonight, it sounds like. So I don't know exactly how to process all that. Getting rid of, even if they're only there for show, anti-propaganda laws, and also pity the poor drone industry, they're just being picked on. I mean, my goodness. This sounds so repetitious. I had an English teacher in high school who warned us all under penalty of death not to use what she called unnecessary repetition. Unnecessary repetition was a crime against God. It was a sin against nature. And if she graded one of your papers with what she considered to be unnecessary repetition, she would give you an F, period. Why do I bring up Miss Fields? Because of this next little item. Pennsylvania State Representative Daryl Metcalf, a Republican of Butler, PA, will introduce legislation tomorrow that will defund Planned Parenthood. Mr. Metcalf's bill is titled The Whole Woman's Health Funding Priority Act.
The Whole Woman's Health Funding Priority Act. Oh, my God.
Mr. Orwell, please come back and bring something sharp and rusty and stab these sons of bitches right through the heart. Please! The Whole Woman's Health Funding Priority Act, which would put health care providers that may be connected to clinics that offer abortion services at the bottom of the priority list for state funding. Now, the truth, and we keep going over this, Planned Parenthood clinics receive a substantial percentage of their money through state and federal government funding streams, including Medicaid, Title V, Title X, and Title 20. The clinics use the funds to offer breast cancer screenings, sexually transmitted disease testing and treatment, pap smears, maternity care, and other medical services, for the most part related to women, for low-income and uninsured patients. That's what Planned Parenthood does. None of the money can legally be used to pay for abortions. And abortions make up less than 3% of the services Planned Parenthood performs. Now, it doesn't make any difference how much unnecessary repetition one uses to get that point out over and over again. But this twit, this half-assed jerk bastard Daryl Metcalf, this Republican from Butler, will have none of that. Those goddamn women and their goddamn vaginas. I will do everything I can to stop the mighty vagina. Mighty vaginas are running loose in this country, along with homosexuals. We're surrounded by mighty vaginas and horny homosexuals. Oh, and by the way, next hour I have for you, a Baptist preacher in North Carolina has come up with a rather interesting way to handle the gay
and lesbian and queer population, he divides it into three categories. The mighty vagina must be stopped! This is what Representative Daryl Metcalf is talking about. So the way to stop the mighty vagina, I guess the way to kill it, is to withdraw services for the mighty vagina that would guarantee that it stays alive. So that's what he's talking about. No more cancer screenings, no more STD testing, no more treatment, no more pap smears, no more maternity care. None of that. Now, oh God, I can't stand this. Someone named Mallory Quigley, who is a an activist with a group called Susan B. Anthony List. Don't be fooled! Don't be fooled. The Susan B. Anthony List is another Orwellian attempt to scramble your brains as if you had had a drone aircraft send a Hellfire missile up your rectum. The Susan B. Anthony List is not what you think. It is an anti-women's health activist group comprised of mouth-breathing Republicans who cannot stand the mighty vagina. Well, one, Mallory Quigley is the communications director for that list. And Quigley calls this bill that would deny all this funding an upgrade for women's health services because it directs money away from Planned Parenthood clinics and toward hospitals.
Oh, well, that's nice. Hospitals.
What's the first thing they ask you when you go into a hospital? And if you are gasping for breath or you're in a coma, they ask the person who brought you in. What's the first question? May I see your insurance card, please? Mallory Quigley, who is the communications director for the Susan B. Anthony List, which is a virulent right-wing anti-woman organization, said that this bill introduced by Pennsylvania State Representative Daryl Metcalf, Republican of Butler, PA, to kill Planned Parenthood in that state. This bill, you see, is an upgrade for women's health services. It's not what it appears to be. It is not trying to defund all the essential procedures and tests for women, like breast cancer screening and pap smears, maternity care, STD testing, you know. So by defunding these, it's an upgrade for women. It really is. Come on, girls, it's an upgrade. Now you can go to a hospital that may or may not treat you, or you can go to a family planning clinic run by the Christian Brothers of We Control Your Vagina, order of from Rome. I don't know. It's a new order called the We Control Your Vagina. And they can go there. Mallory Quigley said, quote, the emphasis is on comprehensive whole woman care. So instead of these women going to Planned Parenthood receive one type of service, they will now be going to qualified health clinics where they can get mammograms, treatment for hypertension and depression, dental care, all those things that that Planned Parenthood doesn't provide. All it is an upgrade of women's health care without any additional cost to the taxpayer. Of course, the problem with this is that cutting funding from a major nationwide family planning provider like Planned Parenthood, is that many of Planned Parenthood's clients live in low-income, rural, or medically underserved areas where there aren't your precious little clinics. There really aren't, Mallory. Honest to God, they don't exist. Show me one of those nice, spotless clinics in the, you know, inner city where all those dark people live. Or how about out in the country, Mallory? And what if somebody doesn't have a car and can't afford public transportation or a taxi? Oh, Mallory, 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 Mallory. When did you have your heart and soul cut out of you and replaced with Republican propaganda? When, Mallory? How old were you? 6? 23? For instance, Tennessee lawmakers cut Title X funding from Planned Parenthood in 2011. And that action has now left many former patients unable to afford health care. But old Mallory Quigley will tell you the honest to God, Jesus, priest, Catholic Church truth. We're going to upgrade women's health. We're going to take all this stuff away from them, and we're going to call it an upgrade. Hell, they can go get their blood pressure tested now. Yeah. And if it's high, it's because of what I'm doing to them. Oh, isn't that a joke? Isn't that funny? In Pennsylvania, Republicans hold the majority in the State House and the Senate. And Governor Tom Corbett, space cadet, Republican, during a debate over a transvaginal ultrasound bill that would have required all women seeking abortions to receive one, said that women who didn't want that procedure should just close their eyes. Close your eyes and think of...
That's not what needs to be closed.
Oh, I don't know. Think of bluebirds and rainbows. Just close your eyes. And when you feel this probe, when you feel this rape, when you feel this machine penetrating your mighty vagina, then you will understand that we are in control. Just close your eyes. No more Planned Parenthood. Spread your legs, sweetie. Now cough. That's just a little joke. Just a little joke about cough. We'll be right back.
that.
Seekers, Uncle Mikey has another bedtime story. Back to Mike Malloy. We
were on the ball. This hour is being sponsored by Matt and Patty Burns. Their message: this 1 hour sponsorship is in honor of my wife's birthday. The Mike Malloy Show is where she goes 5 days a week for therapy. We both send our love to you, Kathy and Molly. True Seekers, keep it lit. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Patty. Happy birthday, Patty. Happy birthday. And thanks, folks. We appreciate it. So, not too much more to say about Mallory Quigley. In Pennsylvania, a Planned Parenthood spokesperson estimates that if this little twit, Daryl Metcalf, this Republican in Butler, PA, that's obviously lives in terror of the mighty vagina, if his bill passes and the state cuts all the funding, it'll leave about 350,000 patients without health services. Now, if a Republican insane person Mitt Romney wins the office of the presidency and follows through on his promise to, what do you say, I'll get rid of Planned Parenthood, you're going to get rid of it. You know, that's another part that just makes me want to smash things. How is Mitt Romney going to get rid of? No, Mitt, you're not. He promised he'll get rid of Planned Parenthood. And, of course, the jackasses out there. And what is this gap closing where it concerns women voters? Women. Hello. You did have Obama 19 points ahead. What did I hear on the news tonight? That the reason there was such a gap was that women were tired of the war on women. Well, now the gap is only 6 points. Has the war ended, ladies? What is it? Have your husbands beat your asses back into submission? Is that what it is? Is you consider Romney to be, you know, just folks, or does it have something to do with his wife? Nah, it was your husbands, they told you, and your preachers and your priests, and probably a few rabbis and imams and, you know, just, it's that gay marriage thing, isn't it? There is no such thing, dears, as gay marriage. It doesn't exist. Please grow up. God damn it. Please grow up. Please tell your husbands to go F themselves. There's no such thing as gay marriage. Some women in this country need Planned Parenthood. Please. Please, ladies. Don't cut your own throats. Don't cut your children's throats. Please. Ah, to hell with you. Cut your throats. If Mitt follows through on his promise to get rid of Planned Parenthood funding entirely, the number of affected patients nationwide could climb to 5 million. And as Prairie 2 writes about Mallory Quigley, it's getting so that the suburbs are similarly underserved and need Planned Parenthood clinics. You don't have to go to the inner city. You don't have to go to the country. You go to the suburbs. Obamacare would start to reverse that trend, but President Romney will fix that. Oh, yeah, he'll fix that. I don't, you know, once again, I'm just lost. I'm lost in Yonkers. I don't understand this stuff. Propaganda being made legal in a sense, you know. Come on. The head of the Drone Aircraft Lobbying Association is all upset and almost literally crying that his drone aircraft are misunderstood. That they're not about death and destruction and spying and surveillance and just violation of just about every single remaining idea of civil liberties. Not at all. That's not what drone aircraft are about. The fact that they carry live missiles that shatter the lives of parents as they watch their children die, that's just, you know, I mean, come on, why focus on the negative? Be fair, is what the head of that lobbying organization says. He wants Michael, what's his name? Calcutta, Toscano, Balboa, I don't know. Michael wants us to be fair. Stop being so hateful toward drone aircraft, unmanned vehicles. They're there to protect you. They're there to take care of you. They don't do anything bad. They're sweet. They're kind. They're gentle. They save lives. They don't kill people. Where do you get this crap? That's right. The liberal media. Jesus. That's terrible. The mighty vagina is coming for you right-wingers. Thousands of protesters marched beside Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans Sunday to accompany the vets as they marched, hoping to return their service medals to NATO's generals. Before the march began, musicians performed for the veterans and their supporters. Allison Kilkenny, writing at Truth Out, says, Tim McElrath, one of the musicians, said, I'm here for the Iraq Vets Against the War, which is a group we've worked with pretty closely over the last couple of years. We've tried to show our fans a different side of the military, a different side of the war, a different side to the stories that they hear in the high, polished 30-second commercials of military recruitments versus the real stories of some of the troops who have been serving in the military. I find these stories so compelling that I want to do anything that I can possibly do to connect the people from these stories to our audience who are desperately looking for information that is coming from somewhere besides the military. He went on. Tim McElrath, he went on. It's really hard, especially when you have a military that pumps millions of dollars into propaganda, and the collective will of America is sometimes a hard thing to defy. It's a pro-war, pro-troop bundle in a way. There are some Americans who can't divorce these two things. But I'm hopeful there is an emerging part of America that can divorce those two things. There are other ways to support the troops than supporting illegal wars. He went on. Budget cuts and the economy have put a unique spotlight on the military and a staple of the right wing. That's one of those sacred cows. We don't cut the military budget. But now that the government is putting those budgets under the microscope, I think it's forcing people who are stereotypically pro-war and pro-military industrial complex to really think about what a bloated machine it is. You can't ignore it. It sucks up so much taxpayer money. End quote. And as Allison reports, after the short jam session, the march began, and the veterans, accompanied by Afghans for Peace, led the way to return the veterans' service medals. Or rather, the veterans attempted to return their medals, but didn't quite make it. Chicago police, including about a dozen horse-mounted officers, shut down the perimeter around McCormick Place, so the veterans had to speak from a stage near the conference. And number of veterans made their speeches and their talks to the crowd. And at the end of the testimonials, the veterans threw their medals in the direction of the conference as the crowd cheered. Yeah, keep the veterans away from the warmongers, because warmongers don't like veterans. A good soldier to a warmonger is a dead soldier. A good soldier is one that comes home in a box with a flag draped around the box. Then we can all traipse to the cemetery and shoot off the rifles and present the grieving mom, dad, widow, children, auntie, uncle, grandmama, whoever's there, with a nice three-corner folded flag. Ma'am, on behalf of the United States military and the United States government, we wish to present this flag to you in honor of the sacrifice that your husband made. Thank you, ma'am. Sponsored by Matt and Patty Burns. It's Patty's birthday, and Matt is sponsoring the hour in honor of his wife's birthday. The message, Mike Malloy Show, is where Patty goes 5 days a week for therapy. We both send our love to you, Kathy and Molly. Truth Seekers, keep it lit. Thanks, Matt. Thank you, Patty, and happy birthday, Patty. Should I? What the hell? A tourist walked into a Chinese curio shop in San Francisco. While looking around the exotic merchandise, he noticed a very lifelike, life-sized bronze statue of a rat. It had no price tag, but was so incredibly striking, the tourist decided he must have it. He took it to the old shop owner and asked, "How much for the bronze rat?" "Ah, you have chosen wisely. It is $12 for the rat, $100 for the story that accompanies it," said the old man. The tourist quickly pulled out $12. "I'll just take the rat. You can keep the story." As he walked down the street carrying the bronze rat, the tourist noticed that a few rats had crawled out of the alleys and sewers and had begun to follow him down the street. This was a bit disconcerting, so he began walking faster. A couple of blocks later, he looked behind him and saw, to his horror, the herd of rats behind him had grown to hundreds, and then they began squealing. Sweating now, the tourist began to trot toward the bay. Again, after a couple of blocks, he looked around, only to discover that the rats now numbered in the millions and were squealing and coming toward him faster and faster. Terrified, he ran to the edge of the bay and threw the bronze rat as far as he could into the bay. Amazingly, the millions of rats all jumped into the bay after the bronze rat and were all drowned. The man walked back to the curio shop in Chinatown. "Ah," said the owner, "you have come back for the story?" "No, sir," said the man. I came back to see if you have a bronze Republican. I like that. Now, see, if you hung out in the Mike Malloy chat room, you would have read that moments ago from Sam in West Virginia, who posted the story. I love that story. I've heard that story before. I love it. Do you have a bronze Republican? Shitty boom. This is the latest. I saw this last week. I thought, I don't know why bother, but I think the story is kind of cute. Obama is, the Obama executive, Obama White House is the way they put it, is drawing ridicule for appending the official online biographies of nearly every president over the last century in order to link Obama's accomplishments to the former commanders-in-chief. Okay? What they did, the Obama team went into the pages of U.S. presidents dating back to Calvin Coolidge. And they added friendly-looking, did you know, fact boxes at the end of these presidents' bios. Now, the little additions were used to plug different Obama administration initiatives, ranging from the health care overhaul to the so-called Buffett rule to his green energy policies. For instance, the following was added to the official bio of the late President Ronald Reagan. Quote, in a June 28, 1985 speech, Reagan called for a fairer tax code, one where a multimillionaire did not have a lower tax rate than his secretary. Today, President Obama is calling for the same with the Buffett rule. Okay, that's fair. But, you know, the Obama White House now is coming under heavy criticism from good Christian right-wing conservatives for the changes. How dare you? Adding something to St. Reagan? And not just to Reagan's page. Of course, no biographies have been altered. Simply a link at the bottom of each page to related WhiteHouse.gov content. This is on the bottom of the FDR biography, for instance. On August 14th, 1935, President Roosevelt signed the Social Security Act. Today, the Obama administration continues to protect seniors and ensure Social Security will be there for future generations. Oh, my God! How dare he! At the end of LBJ's page is this. President Lyndon Johnson signed Medicare into law in 1965, providing millions of elderly health care stability. President Obama's historic health care reform law, the Affordable Care Act, strengthens Medicare, offers eligible seniors a range of preventive services with no cost sharing, and provides discounts on drugs when in the coverage gap known as the donut hole. Oh, that dirty, rotten Obama, his dirty, rotten team. How dare they do that? Oh, well, this is enough to make a Republican just piss his pants. Oh, my goodness. Especially on St. Reagan's page. LBJ, FDR, who cares? But St. Reagan? On the bio of Kennedy, John Kennedy, the Obama staff cited the current president's decision to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Peace Corps with a presidential proclamation as a way to link Obama's administration to Kennedy's. And this is what makes Republicans wet their drawers. This. I need a bronze Republican. I will give anything for a bronze Republican with a Chinese blessing on it. Stick around. We'll be back. I want you to hear the Reverend, what is this rat bastard's name from North Carolina? Ah! What is his name? Here it is right here. What is it? What's his name, Kathy? We're going to play the sound. Morley? Worley, it's Reverend Worley. Stick around, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show. But don't call in. Have a safe Memorial Day, and Mike will be back live tomorrow night.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Jim Shuckman. I think that's right. I hope it's right. Jim Shuckman. Thanks, Jim. His message, as a founding member, I'm ashamed that I put this off for so long. Sorry, Mike, I know there are a lot of other truth seekers just like me who are procrastinating. My message to them is sponsor an hour. Now, just do it. Also, exercise every day. Just do that, too. It's good for you. Thanks for keeping it lit. Jim in Bloomington, Minnesota. Thanks, Jim. Exercise. I did this morning. This should wait until church night, but what the hell. It's just more of the madness. This is from North Carolina. So much of this stuff comes out of the South. There have been there have been lengthy explanations as to why the South is so, I'm not talking about meteorologically, but why the South is so steamy and hot and repressed sexually. I mean, how many writers, poets, artists have addressed that particular theme? Maybe that's why I like the South, but not the repression part, but the fact that you can't walk 5 feet and there's just so much, I don't know, gooey kind of, it's either freewheeling sex or repressed sex or inverted sex or perverted sex or repressed sex. It just goes on and on and on. And maybe it's because we don't wear that many clothes down here. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. I have no idea. But the South, the historic South, the old Confederacy, where the white folks and the black folks, when black folks used to be slaved, there was all kind of messing around going on. Woo, Lord, let me tell you. And I think that profoundly affected the attitudes down here, right? And it just never stops. So I want to share with you a little bit of audio here from a North Carolina pastor who is calling for the extermination of all gays and lesbians by locking them off behind an electric fence and waiting for them all to die. His name is Charles Worley, and he's with the Providence Road Baptist Church out in Maiden, North Carolina. And he's figured out a way to get rid of all them lesbians and queers.
Our president getting up and saying that it was all right for two women to marry or two men to marry. I tell you right now, I was disappointed bad. But I tell you right there, as sorry as you can get, the Bible's against it, God's against it, I'm against it, and if you've got any sense, you're against it. I had a way, I figured a way out, a way to get rid of all the lesbians and queers, but I couldn't get it past the Congress. Build a great, big, large fence, 50 or 100 mile long, put all the lesbians in there, fly over and drop some food. Do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals. And have that fence electrified till they can't get out. Feed them. And you know what? In a few years, they'll die out.
Yeah.
Do you know why they can't reproduce? If a man ever has a young'un, praise God, he'll be the first one. All of these. You know, this world, amen. I'm going to preach the hell out of all of us.
Amen.
Hey, I tell you right now, somebody said, who you going to vote for? I ain't going to vote for a baby killer and a homosexual lover. You said, did you mean to say that? You better believe I did. God have mercy. It makes me puking sick.
Bless
to think about. I don't even know whether y'all ever say this in the pulpit or not. Could you imagine kissing some man?
Well, you know, Jesus turned to Judas and kissed him.
You saying Jesus was a queer, aren't you there, Reverend? Jesus and Judas were queers, weren't they? Let's put old Jesus back or behind the electrified fence, because the Bible's against it. I'm against it. Your mama's against it. Your grandpappy's dog is against it.
So there's your proof. Jesus was a homosexual, and his lover was Judas. And apparently Judas got pissed off about something, and you know how jealous lovers can just, ooh, Lord have mercy. So Judas kissed him on the mouth.
Can you imagine kissing a man?
Now, see, that's the problem there with old Charles Worley. His daddy never kissed him. His daddy probably ignored him. His mama ignored him. His family ignored him. He had to go play out in the pig pen. Go play
at the pigs, boy!
It makes him puking sick. Thinking about kissing some man. What if it was your savior?
I'm just curious. I couldn't care less. These people are clowns or goddamn idiots. They're freaks. They don't have the sense their Lord and Savior gave a June bug. They're just dumber than hell. But they preach that. You heard the audience in the background. I don't mean audience. I mean the congregation. Pardon me. I didn't mean to say audience and minimize the power of Reverend Worley's message. I mean, after all, he's preaching to Christians out there. He is. And he's not the only one. I think I told you last week... In North Carolina, earlier this month, a pastor in Fayetteville, North Carolina, that's where Fort Bragg is, one of the biggest areas of taking American humans and turning them into killers, people who will kill without thinking. And it is no coincidence that fundamentalist preachers all live there, too, and they talk the same kind of filth. But this guy, Sean Harris of the Berean Baptist Church, said in a sermon, "Dads, the second you see your son dropping the limp wrist, you know, like all them homosexuals do, the second you see that, you walk over there and crack that wrist. Man up. Give him a good punch."
Sean Harris of the Berean Baptist Church. Up there in North Carolina. Lord, have mercy, mercy, mercy. Dear God, spare us from the people who believe in you. Sweet Jesus, protect us from the people who say you're the Messiah. All right, we have a break coming here. I just wanted to drop that in. Like I say, it's comic relief. There's nothing important about that. It's just one more slobby son of a bitch who is going to tell the terminally brain dead there in his little congregation what's right and what's not right and how to handle them or queers. But I swear it's a kind of poison that I just think we could do without. Don't you think? All right, we'll be back after the break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. In the UK, a tribunal put together by that country's foreign office, I'm sorry, not put together by a foreign office, an independent tribunal, has decided that extracts of a phone conversation between Tony Blair and George Bush right before the invasion of Iraq has to be disclosed. The British Foreign Office lost an appeal against an order by the British Information Commissioner, one Christopher Graham, who said that these records had to be disclosed. And there was a conversation between Bush and Blair on March 12th, 2003. And Christopher Graham's order was made in response to a Freedom of Information request by a private individual who demanded disclosure of the entire record of the conversation. The Information Commissioner Graham said in his original order, quote, accountability for the decision to take military action against another country is paramount, end quote. Well, that's an interesting concept. upholding that ruling yesterday, judge in the case, who is also the president of the Information Tribunal, said the UK Foreign Office witnesses had downplayed the importance of a decision to go to war. A view that the tribunal found, quote, difficult to accept. Yeah, well, The tribunal added, quote, also in our view, particularly from the evidence in this case, the circumstances surrounding a decision by a UK government to go to war with another country is always likely to be a very significant public interest, even more so with the consequences of this war, end quote. Wouldn't it be interesting, if that's the proper word, to have such an investigation in this country? Of course, given most of the Republicans, but also the Democrats in our governing bodies, such a discussion will never occur. And you know why it will never occur. Because the only conclusion to be drawn from such an inquiry will be a conclusion that includes the necessity of charges of treason, war crimes, violation of international treaties, crimes against humanity, against the entire Bush crime family who orchestrated the event to begin with. Not to mention incidental charges, if they can be filed, of murder, mass murder, cultural destruction. I mean, the list just goes on and on. In the UK, they say a decision by a government to go to war with another country is always likely to be a very significant public interest. What a sentence, huh? What a sentence. In this country, it's a matter of television news branding. It has nothing to do with the matter of public information. The public provides the blood of the young soldiers who go. The public provides the killers in the form of the young soldiers who go. The public provides the financing to buy the weapons of death. But it's none of our business as to how the decisions were made. What we are supposed to hear and accept and suck up and devour and go, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, I believe it, are the lies told by people like Colin Powell, Dick Cheney, George W. Bush, every single member, Donald Rumsfeld, of that filthy, fascist, criminal organization that ran this country for 8 years. In the UK, they still have quaint ideas that the public, can you imagine? Can you imagine? the decision to go to war with another country is always likely to be a very significant public interest. Oh, that is so 19th century. 20th century, maybe. Isn't it? Oh, God. The ruling said parts of the phone call between Bush and Blair recording what the former British Prime Minister said must be disclosed. The two men are believed, it says here, to have discussed UN resolutions on Iraq. In a television interview given by Jacques Chirac, then French president, on 10 March 2003, Blair repeatedly blamed Jacques Chirac for the failure to get a second UN Security Council resolution backing an invasion of Iraq. You remember Freedom Fries? You remember Freedom Fries? Because the frame, remember how Sean Hannity and his little posse just ran around with their hair on fire talking about how, oh, French fries, no, Freedom Fries. Damn the French. We'll be right back.
People that they said they had to bomb, when in fact it was just a wedding. The fact is there's these prisoners buried in the sand, mass murdered in containers. The fact is in Afghanistan more died than in New York, and most of them civilians. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. The king of Death Row, Texas, elected by his brother-in-law. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. Oil money, Enron, the American Empire!
Man, would you like to...
Speakers, it'll be our secret.
Twenty-five before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Jim in Bloomington, Minnesota. Jim's message: as a founding member, I'm ashamed that I put this off for so long. Sorry, Mike. I know there are a lot of other truth seekers like me who are procrastinating. My message to them is... That's right, sponsor an hour. Now, he writes, just do it, he says. Thank you, Jim. Also, Jim writes, exercise every day. Just do that, too. It's good for you. Thanks for keeping it lit. Well, you're right on both points. Thank you, Jim. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Back to the story, just a little bit more. The inquiry... into a tribunal, actually, that is investigating the role of the United Kingdom where it concerned the illegal criminal invasion and murder of thousands of Iraqi citizens, the invasion of Iraq, counter to the very issues that the United States and Britain sorted out after World War II against the German High Command at Nuremberg. The fact that the UK and the United States acted the way it does, or it did, where it concerns Iraq, means, very simply, that what was done after the trials at Nuremberg was judicial murder. Any members of the German High Command or the German industrialists who were executed subsequent to World War II because of their role in that horror, their execution now has to be identified as judicial murder, because you cannot, listen to Malloy, you cannot have rules for the Germans that are no good for the Americans and the Brits. You cannot hang members of the Japanese High Command for participating in or ordering partial drowning, and have partial drowning sanctified by the Bush crime family 60 years later. Not unless you are willing to live in a society that has gone totally goddamn insane, which is where we live. So the inquiry by members of the British government, the British Parliament, into how the UK, along with its co-conspirator in murder and mayhem, the United States, were able to justify an invasion of Iraq under no provocation whatsoever, with no goal whatsoever except to steal the natural resources of Iraq. Didn't Hitler invade certain parts of Middle Europe because of the abundance of coal? And had Hitler lived, would he had not have been put on trial and executed, as he should have been, as Bush should be, as Dick Cheney should be, as Tony Blair should be, as Jack Straw should be. These are people who co-conspired to do exactly what the Nazis did prior to the invasion of Poland. Exactly the same thing. But we're the good guys. But I digress. Wouldn't it be interesting to see a tribunal in this country? But as Nancy Pelosi said, that's off the table. Jack Straw, the foreign secretary, claimed in evidence to this, it's called the Chilcot Inquiry, by the way, C-H-I-L-C-O-T, the Chilcot Inquiry into how the U.K., decided to commit international war crimes along with the United States. Jack Straw claimed in evidence to the inquiry that Jacques Chirac made it clear France would not back a fresh UN resolution, quote, whatever the circumstances, end quote. Jack Straw added, quote, I don't think there was any ambiguity, end quote. Now, this issue is important because the Blair government claimed that Chirac's interview killed off all hope of a diplomatic solution. It was Chirac's fault. Straw's claims, of course, were contradicted by Sir John Holmes, then U.S. ambassador to France. He told the committee investigating this in the U.K. that Chirac's words were clearly ambiguous. One interpretation, Holmes says, was that Chirac was simply warning that France would veto a fresh U.N. resolution at the time to go to war, as U.N. weapons inspectors had not been given a proper chance to do their job. Oh, well. You know, what's the point of what's the point of having international law or attempting to have international law? You know, Charles Taylor was just convicted in Europe or Africa? He was convicted of war crimes, even though he was not charged with killing anyone or sending his troops into any battle. But Charles Taylor was convicted of aiding and abetting people who were doing that. Now, since the International War Tribunal does not have the death penalty, Charles Taylor of Liberia will probably spend the rest of his life in prison. George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, and I mean, we can go back further than that. We can go back to Henry Kissinger. We can go back to Lyndon Johnson, if you want to, the sainted Lyndon Johnson, whose request for a Gulf of Tonkin resolution. I know this is way old stuff. All the way back in, what, 64, 65? Resulted in the murder of 3 million Indochinese and 56,000 Americans. I mean, how far back do you want to go? It's ridiculous. But my point is simply there should be an historical record clearing, you know, rewriting history to reflect decisions made in the 21st century that seem so goddamn necessary in the middle of the 20th. That it was absolutely necessary to bring to justice the perps who took the country into World War II with the result of 80 million people around the globe dying. The perps, of course, were the Germans, the Japanese, and the Italians. The Italian people took care of their perp. Not only did they rip Mussolini and his girlfriend's body to shreds, but they hanged his corpse from a lamppost along with I forget her name, it doesn't matter. Hitler escaped, of course, by committing suicide. And as far as the Japanese high command, enough of them were put on trial and executed for crimes committed during the Bush administration. So going back and rewriting history now is a necessity. It has to be stated that these people who were tried and hanged or executed by firing squad, I think they were all hanged because it's a demeaning form of death. Some of these, my understanding, that some of the German high command demanded or requested execution by firing squad because it is more militaristic and more gentlemanly and more dignified, whereas hanging, you wind up soiling your own breeches and your body twitches and jerks. And I think that request was denied of just about everyone. They were hanged. So history then has to be rewritten. And it has to be stated categorically that based on the conduct of the chief prosecutors at Nuremberg, the United States and the United Kingdom, based on the chief prosecutors in Tokyo Bay, the United States, that the leaders of these countries against whom we fought World War II were murdered by judicial order. They were found guilty of crimes that simply did not exist. That the Bush crime family has, in fact, proven that the right to invade countries without provocation, to slaughter thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, is a God-given right. And that to charge the high command of the United States or the United Kingdom with the very same crimes charged against the high command of Germany or Japan is nonsense. They lost. We won. Now, we all know the history is written by the victors. That's always the case. But the inquiry, the Chilcot Commission, or inquiry, whatever it's called in the UK, is trying. To what end? I have no idea. I don't know why they want to. I don't know if it's political. I don't know if it's moral. I don't know if it's a question of trying to sort out what international laws were violated, how to prevent it in the future, how if it's designed to assess guilt and responsibility, if it, as the Chilcot Commission says, it is to let the people know their country was taken into war. They had sons and daughters and grandfathers and grandsons and all sorts of people who died in an illegal, immoral, human rights violation of monstrous proportions. So maybe it's just the right of the people to know, which is another quaint-sounding idea here in the year 2012, is it not?
In my youth, it was so easy to stand up and say smugly who was sane and who was crazy, who was wrong and who was right, who was numbered with the angels and who sided with the devil, who was good and who was evil. It was all so black and white. But the years have taught me better. Good and evil do not matter. Their words are masters scattered to hide their bloody hands. And what's truth and what's illusion? What's...
Before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Jim in Bloomington, Minnesota. Thank you, Jim. His message, as a founding member, I am ashamed that I put this off for so long. Sorry, Mike. I know there are a lot of other truth seekers just like me who are procrastinating. My message to them is sponsor an hour now. Just do it. Also, exercise every day. Just do that, too. It's good for you. Thanks for keeping it lit. Good advice about the exercising, and thanks, Jim. No apologies necessary, pal. You know what your grandma used to say? Same thing mine said.
Better late than never.
Thanks, Jim. Seriously. Today, there were some hearings in Washington. Yesterday, Senate Banking Committee Chairman Tim Johnson of South Dakota announced, he's a Democrat, announced that his panel, Senate Banking Committee, would call J.P. Morgan Chase Chairperson Jamie Dimon to testify. Sounds good, right? It's good that the watchdog is barking, right? As Aldernet says, we'd all better watch closely to see if it will bite. Here's what you probably don't know. Political Moneyline's tabulations of Political Action Committee contributions show that securities and financial firms have given more money to Senator Tim Johnson of South Dakota than any other sector in the last three election cycles. In the current cycle, for example, almost two-thirds of his $361,580 in PAC money comes from firms like J.P. Morgan Chase. In 2008, he collected over $2 million from the same corner of American capitalism. Johnson calls his leadership pack South Dakota First, but not surprisingly, contributions to his campaign committee from New York and other states often run far ahead of receipts from his own state. And it gets worse. Here's the real crunch, the real punchline. Which firm is Johnson's single largest contributor? Should be a trivia question, shouldn't it? Senator Tim Johnson, who is called for a hearing to take a look at the fallout from J.P. Morgan Chase's, and by the way, that's going to continue to grow. What is it, up to $5 billion now? You know, Prairie 2 has been predicting this for a couple of years. Here it comes. Senator Tim Johnson, Democrat of South Dakota, and Senate Banking Committee Chair has called for this hearing. Well, getting back to the question, which firm is Senator Tim Johnson's largest single contributor? Ba-bum, ba-bum, bum, bum. J.P. Morgan Chase. And that holds in the current election cycle and the cycles between 2005 and 2010. So in other words, for the past 7 years, the biggest contributor to Senator Tim Johnson, Senate Banking Committee Chair, Democrat of South Dakota, has been J.P. Morgan Chase. Ooh, you go get him, Tim. You get that old Jamie Dimon in there and just kick his ass all around the Senate hearing room, okay? That dirty dog. Oh, no, you're not going to pay any attention to the fact that his company, the one that's about to bring the entire global economy down again, has been your largest contributor for the past 7 years. No, no. Well, at least in the financial services amount of money that you suck up. Goddamn Democrats. Filthy Republicans. I mean, what are you going to do? Here we are, squeezed between, on the one hand, a party full of war criminals and religious cult fanatics. On the other hand, a party full of war criminals and sleazy, lying, cowardly Democrats. What are we going to do? Well, you know what to do. It's just that you won't do it. You won't do it. I'll do it, but you won't. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it in 5 minutes. It's damn near midnight here in the East, but I'll do it. And you know what it is, don't you? Just for one day, stop participating in this continuing scam. That's all. Just one day. That's all you have to do. Just one day. Join up with 30, 40 million of your fellow suckers. We used to be called Americans, but we're suckers now. And, you know, just join up, join hands, and sit your ass down. That's all you have to do. Don't sit down on your living room couch. Just get off your ass and move out. Move outside. Join with some Occupy people. Join with the veterans. Join with union members. Join with workers. Join with people who used to be making $25, $30 an hour. Now they're making $7.50. Join hands. Join with all the teachers who were fired so that these rich sons of bitches could continue to get even more and more. Join with all the firefighters and police officers who have been kicked off their jobs. I know police officers want to bust up on your head. Maybe it's because of the frustration they feel, huh? Join with all the janitors who were told by Newt Gingrich that an 8-year-old could do their job, and sit down and don't move. There's not enough cops in America. There are not enough cops on earth. There's not enough cops on earth. There's not enough cops on earth to make all of us go home or to arrest us. But you're not going to do that. And I know you're not.
Folks, Ronnie.